76. If you want to have that in readiness. Today's lesson is entitled Making Right Choices, and the choice is ours. Taken from the book of Matthew, verses 13 through 29. Now, before we get into our text, I want to preface things by saying that Satan always finds a way to interrupt things when he can, or create havoc when he can. And as Sister Emma can attest, sometimes things get, when I go through all the work of preparing these PowerPoints, certain things happen, which is unbeknownst to me. A lot of effort's been put, or has been put, but still certain slides get left out, and I can't understand that, except knowing that Satan can create the problem. And especially when I print off a copy and she has it and the slide's not there. So I wonder what influence he has, or how much influence he has, and what he does do. But I know when we start talking about Christ and developing an attitude of Christ, then we have his heart and so on, that Satan doesn't like that. And so let's take a look at our text this morning, and let's get into this message, and we'll talk a few more things about what we're going to say. But this is getting down. We're down almost to the... I'm going to spend a little more time after this message on the last two verses, verses 27 through 29. So, looking at this though, Christ is coming to a point in his message, and I hope you see that by these verses. In verse 13 he says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." See, I told you. "You shall know them by their fruits. Grapes are not..." Next slide. "Gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter..." Next slide. "Will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" Now notice these words. These are Jesus' words. "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Next slide. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall." The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Now, as I said, we've come in this series of lessons on the Sermon on the Mount, the final two, this one and the one to come. And for several months, we have, in this process of going over the Sermon on the Mount and the things that Jesus had to share, we've been searching for the heart of Jesus. And in this series of lessons, hopefully we have learned how to have his heart, okay? We've learned to have how to have his attitude, and his disposition. One more point there. There you go. We learn how his heart, to have his attitude towards life, and his disposition. Okay. And it's here, on his Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus reveals his inner self, telling us how to live life at its best. And that's why I thought it was so important. It was Jesus was revealing his real self, what he thought, how he thought, how his heart was, and so on. And he was telling us how to live life at its best, and life as it was meant to be lived, for a right relationship with him and with others. Now, we have come to a point in the sermon that Jesus is offering an invitation. Just about like any lesson you might hear or sermon that you might hear in one of the churches, Jesus is coming to this point where he's about to offer an invitation. This sermon is about choices. And one of God's great gifts to us was the privilege. And he gave us the privilege of choice. Because it's no honor to him to have robots as children. He didn't want that. He wanted us to love him. He wanted us to serve him because we love him and want to do it. And because of his great love, he allows us the freedom of choice. And he lets us choose our own pathway. And in this part of the sermon, Jesus is saying, it's time. It's time. You've got to choose who you want to follow. Me or the world. That's the choice. You have to make a choice. There's no other choices. You can either follow me or you can follow the world. And regardless of what our culture teaches us, or regardless of what is politically correct today, and we hear that term more and more, being politically correct, life is up to us. Each of us will choose. Each of us will choose, and I want you to get these points. Each of us will choose the road we're going to take. We'll choose who we're going to be or who we are, and we'll choose our attitudes and our dispositions, regardless of our situation and circumstances in life. We're going to make choices. Rich or poor, bond or free, male or female, Jew, Gentile, or whatever race or whatever the color of our skin, we will decide what we are in our heart. And so in our text, Jesus gives us three examples of such choices. And he tells us there's a right and a wrong way to travel, or a wrong and a wrong road to travel. He tells us there are right and a wrong people to follow. And he tells us there are stable and unsure foundations to build life upon. Now these are the thoughts that he brings out in our text. There's a right and wrong road to travel, there are right and wrong people to follow, and there are stable and unsure foundations to build life upon. And our lesson today will examine each of these choices that Jesus prompts us and wants us to make. And he encourages us to choose the correct road to travel. Now, there's a British poet by the name of John Oxenham who wrote the following poem. He says, "To every man there opens a way. The high soul treads the highway. The low soul gropes the low. And in between on misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. And every man decides the way he shall go." And that's true of us. We will decide the way we will go. And yes, life is filled with decisions. Now let's see what we can learn from the verses of our text. Well, the first thing is one of these decisions that we'll have to make is the way of truth. And the other is a lie. Satan's lie. Jesus says, and we read that early in our text, that there is a straight and narrow road that leads to life eternal. And then he also said there's a wide and broad road that leads to destruction. And he also said that one of these two roads is the way of truth that leads to life. And the other one is a falsehood. And that seems to attract many. If we look at our culture today, it doesn't like anything to be too narrow. I've seen a tremendous amount of changes in the attitude that my supervisors have had over the years since I've worked for Boeing. Things that were very narrow 40 years ago, today are a lot less narrow. In fact, they're very broad. And one of those is what the insurance will cover. And just two couples living together, it'll cover them. Whereas before, it had to be a married couple. And that's just one example. There's many, many things like that. Today, broadness is being politically correct. And that's their attitude. We want to be politically correct. We don't want to create some kind of distraction or something that's going to create problems for us. So we're going to be politically correct. And our world demands this kind of tolerance. And Satan promotes a mind open to anything and to everything. But Jesus says, and these are Jesus' words, this is not the way life is to be. There is such a thing as truth, and that truth is the way to live. That's what's going to bring you real happiness. That's what's going to bring you real joy. But you see, truth, following Jesus, has always been narrow. In some people's cases, some will say it's been very difficult. And sometimes I'll have to say that. It's very difficult to do. But I know it's what's going to benefit me if I do. Now let me give you some interesting points. 2 + 2 = 4. Is that correct? Will it ever equal 3 or 5? Isn't that a kind of a narrow way of thinking? It's only going to ever equal 4? But that's the fact. Here's some more truths, scriptural truths, that are narrow. But Jesus points out. He says in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. Is that my words? No, that's Jesus' words. And he says, if you don't believe, you're condemned. Right next, the very next verse. And then he also says in John chapter 4, verse 17, he says, he that knows to do good, it's not there. Satan had a win. He that knows to do good and does it not, sins. How about Matthew chapter 6, verse 14? That's what I said. Didn't I say James chapter 4, verse 17? Okay, sorry. James 4, 17. Now, Matthew 6, 14. It says, if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, what's the narrowness there? Well, we have to forgive others before God's going to forgive us. Okay, Matthew 7, 1. Another narrow point of view. He says, do not judge, lest you be judged. Or Matthew 7, 2, with the same judgment that you judge, you will be judged. It's not there. John chapter 8, verse 32. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But he puts some conditions on that. If you look at the previous verses, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And then he says, if we abide in his word, we're going to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But what do we have to do? Follow a very narrow road, and that's abide in his truth. Okay? John chapter 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that the broad road is wide and easy to follow. And on the broad road, everything goes. And there's room for permissiveness and a lack of morals on this broad road. And if you look at life today and people's lives today that are not following Jesus, you'll see a lot of permissiveness. You'll see a lack of morals. And the list can go on and on. That's the broad road. And there are no real boundaries, with no curbs on one's thoughts or conduct. There just isn't any. And one can choose to live as he pleases, with few, if any, restraints at all. And this list, like I said, can go on and on. That's the broad road. Is that what we want? The road that we follow that allows a lot of permissiveness and a lack of morals and so on. Now listen to David as he writes about these two life roads found in the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Blessed or happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers." Some translations use the word scoffers. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." Now that's the man who walks in the narrow road. Now, the broad road, verses 4 through 6 actually, that's my mistake. "Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Okay, he makes it clear. The way of the wicked will perish. Okay, let's go on to the second point that we can learn. This second way, we have to make another decision. We must choose the straight and narrow. And that's what he says in our text. And it tells us of the importance of doing that. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "It's not within a man," it's not within us, who walks to direct his own steps. Okay? It's not within us. And then in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 and 16, verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Well, first of all, he tells us it's not within us to direct our own steps. And he says there is a way that seems right. That's the reason why we can't do it. There is a right that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So where does our focus need to be? It needs to be upon Jesus. Not the things of this world or what we might want or we might think to do or should do. Now how can we make the right choice? By listening. Getting into His Word. Following what Jesus has asked us to do. Yes, we can choose to live by the truth or by today's standard of political correctness. And the choice is ours. And I'm praying, and I know Jesus wants us to make the wise choice. One of these ways, the broad way, is filled with a lot of people. The straight and narrow way, there are few people following. And the Bible translates that word few by meaning to be small in number. So make no mistake about it. The way of truth, the ways of Jesus, the straight and narrow way, and the truth and genuine Christianity is a life. It's a walk, it's a way, and a road of the minority. And would you understand and know that we, as Christians, those who are servants of Christ, are in the minority. Scripture plainly tells us in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16 and 22 verse 14, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Now why? Why is that the case? Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, few are chosen because few choose to travel that narrow road or walk such a narrow path. Maybe some of you have been following the news, and maybe there's a number that haven't. But if you follow what's going on in Afghanistan right now with a Christian man, he's been taken to court for his belief in Christ. And of course, to their law, if you convert to Christianity from being a Muslim, that the penalty is death. And that's what he's facing. And he won't give up. He's staying on that straight and narrow path. But wouldn't it be easy for him to say, I deny it, and get out of the country, and then say, well, I didn't deny it. I just wanted to save my life. But that was, and that was the way to do it. No. His choice is, I'm going to follow Christ. And there's nothing you can do. If you take my life, take it. Okay? There's a lot of political things going on about that. But the point is, that road is narrow, and sometimes it's tough to follow. And here's a very good example of someone who's having a real tough time following the straight and narrow. And it's also interesting to note that at least five times in the book of Acts, the Church of Christ, or the disciples of Christ, whatever words we want to use, or the followers of Christ, are spoken of those as being those of the way. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, they are the way? Well, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but through me. Are we his children? Are we his workers here on this earth? How are people going to find the way to Christ and ultimately to the Father unless we do our part? Amen? And this is what that young man is doing in Afghanistan. He has made up his mind. He is the follower of Christ. He's going to stick with it. And who knows what might ultimately be the outcome. But the point is, we are referred to as being the way. And the world sees Christ through us. There's a song that we used to sing, and maybe someday we'll sing it some more. But it goes like this. It says, would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. Now, don't the words of these songs, or this song, take on new meaning and real meaning for each of us? Let him have his way with us. Okay, the third thing we can get from our text. Let's consider the final destination of these two ways. Let's consider the destination of these two ways. Brothers and sisters, not only is the Sermon on the Mount a way to live life in the here and now, it also, if we listen to it, it determines, it will help us determine our destination. It was evident, and it is evident, from the very beginning of the sermon, and it's been laced throughout it. For example, the Beatitudes speak of the kingdom of heaven. They speak of seeing God and being his children. They speak of being comforted and inheriting the earth and of laying up treasures in heaven. And if we continue through, we'll see other places where it just refers constantly to a way of to live life. And so, brothers and sisters, we can ignore what it says in there. We can ignore what Jesus was trying to get across to those who were listening to him. Or we can walk in the straight and narrow. And we can live by truth and have eternal life in heaven. And or if we choose to follow the other road, we can travel the broad and wide road, the road that's easy, the road that's very permissive. And we can live a lie, and we can be politically correct. And we can join in this world's idea of life, and as a result, reap eternal destruction or separation from God. Now the real question is, what do I want? Do I want to be with God? Do I want to spend eternity with him? Or do I want to follow after the standards of this world? And again, it comes back down to this point. Our destination is a personal choice. Where do we want to spend eternity? Each of us must decide. And we can choose to to live by the principles of the Sermon on the Mount and have a Jesus heart and have a Jesus-type attitude and disposition, or we can choose to live by the world's standards. You see, again, God does not make any of us a robot. He lets us make that choice. And my prayer is that God will help us make the right choice when it comes to the ways that are open before us. Why? Because I want to see all of you, plus many more, be with all of us in heaven. Next, in our text today, Jesus speaks to us of those who choose to follow in life. Anybody that's not teaching the truth, we have to be careful of. Jesus warns us to watch out for false prophets in our text. Okay? Now why? Why does he do this? Because they come to you, he says, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Okay? They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Now I want to share a fact of life with you. Few of us decide or choose to live life by abstract rules and laws. Most of us follow others and then learn of rules and laws that we determine are true and right and rewarding. And a good example of what I mean by that is there are laws that say we can go down the road at a certain speed. And I see people, when I'm following and obeying the law that says I can travel 60 or 70, whatever it is, I see people going, phew, phew. And you know what? I've even seen Christian people do that. And I'm asking myself, what's going on here? Is this law any good? Is this what Jesus wants me to do? Follow what the law says, or should I be following what the people are doing? That's a choice I have to make. And Jesus warns us in our text, in our lesson today, to be careful who we choose to follow. And he wants us to be mindful of a false teacher. And Jesus is not the only one to give us such a stern warning. Paul also warned the elders of the early church, recorded in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, when he spoke these words. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even from your own number. Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. For 3 years, I never stopped warning you of right each. Never stopped warning each of night and day with tears." Okay? But he said there was going to be those who would come within them that would create problems and havoc and lead them off on the wrong path. And Peter gives us the same warning found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. He said, "There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." Okay? God's going to take care of the situation, but we have to be careful because there are false prophets, false teachers. Okay. Now, Jesus does not leave us ignorant about how to recognize a false teacher. He says in our text, he says, "You shall know them by their fruit." You shall know them by their fruit. Now, what does that mean? Well, first and foremost, to recognize a false teacher, we must examine the fruit that they produce. Regardless of what someone is promoting, liberalism or perceived conservatism, if the fruit that he or she bears is different from that of Jesus, he or she is a false teacher. It's just that simple. In these three chapters of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, hopefully we have discovered the heart of Jesus. Hopefully we have discovered the righteousness that God desires of each of his children and his people. And if someone is teaching something that brings another kind of heart, another kind of attitude, a disposition, or another righteousness, they are a false teacher. So examine the fruit that they are producing and ask yourself the following questions. And this is the thing that's always helped me. First question I ask myself is, will following this teacher make me look more like Jesus? Because that's what we ultimately want to be, is like our Savior. Secondly, will following this teacher help me to conform to the image of the Son of God? Basically the same question. And then the third one, will following this teacher give me his heart, give me his attitude, and his disposition? If it doesn't, then I want to get away from it. Okay, secondly, we must examine not only their fruit, but also their confession of faith. Jesus says, he says, it is not enough to say, Lord, Lord, to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's got to be more than that. We need to do what he says. We need to obey him. We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. And we need to become a living sacrifice, an instrument in the hand of God. And so we need to ask ourselves, are these people that we're looking at, are they willing to do the good works that he wants them to do and the plans that he has for them? Or are they setting out on their own agenda? Jesus, Paul, and Peter admonish us to stay away from a false teacher. They admonish us to do what we need to do to be in conformity with Christ. And how do we do that? By getting into his word. Now, very often, people tell me they don't go to this church or some other congregation because they feel that maybe we're too conservative or that maybe we're legalistic. Well, you know, I have a problem with this kind of thinking. Unless they or any church, whatever it might be, are imposing on me things that are not found in the Word of God, then I've got a problem. If they're telling me I have to do this or that and it's not found in the Word of God, then I've got a problem. But if they're asking me to follow Jesus' Word as it is written, I don't call that legalism. I don't call that anything but obeying Christ. For example, if the body is taught not to forsake, to forsake the assembly, if the body is taught to worship in spirit and truth, if the body is taught to sing and pray with the spirit and with the understanding, if the body is taught to remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection when we partake of communion, if the body is taught to give as we have been prospered, and I want to thank Lord again for his words, or if the body is taught to love one another as Jesus loved us, then I don't call that legalism. I call that being in conformity to Christ or being obedient to him. And when people openly disobey him and don't do what Christ asked him to do, this is rebellion against God, and this is living and promoting a false doctrine. I will say this. I don't always agree with how everyone thinks. And I'm sure not everyone agrees with the way I think. I don't always agree with the way things are done. But instead of forsaking the assembly or grumbling about it, the first thing I do is go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to get me straightened out and help me find a way to help the body. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn it over to Christ and say, this is bigger than I am. Help me, Lord. Help me to be understanding. Help me to change. Or help me to change the way things are done. Amen. Isn't that the way we should work together? This is exactly what the Pharisees did not do. And Jesus condemned them for doing so. You see, they made God's will more strict than what it was. And Jesus said to them, when you convert someone, you make them more a child of the devil than they were previously. And so, brothers and sisters, we have to be careful. We have to be careful and sure that we're teaching the things as Jesus taught them. Satan also knows that there are false teachers that are not necessarily ravenous wolves or roaring lions. He knows there are some false teachers in sheep's clothing, such as some of these false teachers could be preachers and teachers. Some could be elders. Some could be fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters. Some could be aunts and uncles. Some are grandparents and close friends. And many are good, well-meaning people who are false teachers and don't know it. But again, anything any of these people are teaching that's contrary to the Word of God, then we need to make sure that they understand what the Word of God is, but also at the same time, we need to make sure that we're following it. And here's the sad news. When we follow a false teacher, whether it be any of these people or someone else, it makes no difference. No difference whatsoever. Whether their false teaching is intentional or not, the results are the same. Good honest souls are led to be lost. And Satan knows that, and he takes advantage of any and every situation he can. And so I beg you, I appeal to you, just because someone says that they are a Christian, just because someone says they are conservative, just because someone says they are a believer in sound doctrine, or one contending for the faith, if they are not following and obeying the Word of God, if they are not following and obeying God in what they know to be right, and if they're not living by the Word of God, do not listen to them. Do not follow them. They are false teachers. They are living in rebellion to God, and their doctrine will lead you away from the straight and narrow path. That's why it's so hard sometimes to follow the straight and narrow path, because we see those that we really care about straying off of it and getting onto that broad road. And sometimes it's very hard to bring them back if we can at all. But the main thing is, we don't want to get off that road. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now these are Jesus' words. This is part of his sermon. Down in Matthew 7, 21. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And I, he says, will declare to you, to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Can it be any clearer than that? Our challenge today and every day is to choose to follow the Word of God, without a liberal or a conservative slant to it. Paul's admonishment to us, and it must be ours as well, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, then thirdly this morning, Jesus said we must choose the right foundation. We must choose the right foundation. We must build our life upon the right teachings and the right principles. No matter what others are doing around us, whether it be our mate or a parent or a child, whatever, We must choose the right foundation to build our life upon. And so we must build our life upon the right teachings and the right principles. Putting into practice on a daily basis Christ's teaching is a sure foundation against the storms of this life. Now notice this, verses 24 through 25. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, okay, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. He's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and burst against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. In other words, it had been founded upon a solid foundation. Now, let's look at verses 26 through 27. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. What's we need to do? Listen to his words. Put them into practice. And he says he's like a foolish man and does not put them into practice. He's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Okay? Only the foundation of Christ is what's going to stand. Time or the influence of Satan. Now, I want to leave these verses for our next message, but I think you've gotten the point. So in conclusion, I want to point out that Jesus was a trained carpenter. He knew that life without a proper foundation was destined to failure in this world and in the world to come. He knew that. He knew that when the storms of life blew, cold and hard, or when the winds of the judgment day come, life was going to be made. The choice is going to be made. Where we'll spend eternity. And for us to stand and be able to be ushered in to life eternal with Jesus, our lives must be built upon a strong foundation, which must be built upon him and his teachings in this sermon. And so today, my encouragement to you is based upon the fact that we need, if we haven't, to start building our life upon the rock. And so let's choose to meet Christ. Build our house upon the rock of Christ. Choose to walk in the straight and narrow. Choose to follow Jesus. And if we need to become a child of God, or if we haven't been, maybe we at one time gave our life over to him, but Satan has led us astray. Come. We have an opportunity every Sunday morning. And other times, we have an opportunity to make things right with him. But it's our choice. We have to make that choice. Someday those choices will run out. For many, the choices have. Because their life has ended. So my encouragement to you is Christ has given you one more opportunity this morning. If you aren't living for him, make the choice that will lead you to him. The song I selected is found on page 376. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow him. If you have made that decision, and Satan and someone somehow gain influence, get back on the road. Let's stand. Let's sing this song together. If anyone has a need, let that need be known.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Those behind me have crossed before me. They'll all be behind me, they'll cross before me. Jesus.